someone not knowing the technicalities of the simulation, what you do is going to look at it perhaps and say, well, it's basically a glorified computer game. It can't be, because you wouldn't need all these people to run it and program it and do it. So what order of magnitude of difference is it? What can you say to us?
There's two main uses we have for the simulator. The primary one we use it for the Williams F1 car is the engineering tool. So we're pulling all of our information from our wind tunnel, our tyre model, our car setup information, and using it as an engineering tool before a Grand Prix weekend to go through a series of setup changes and setup tests, so we can then reduce the amount of work we're trying to do during the Grand Prix weekend. And it's certainly a very powerful tool for that. When you get your new era update, if it's a significant one, it's almost like turning up with a brand new car, so almost like you're starting all over again. So if you can get through a series of tests and sort of narrow down the window where you want to work the car to get it as fast as you can, then that's a massive advantage. So I can appreciate on the outside it might look like a glorified computer game, but it's actually a very powerful engineering tool. And then the second use we have is for driver training. So as we have with current F1 drivers and also current drivers in lower formulas, we can get them in to do then two things. One of them is driver training. So if there's a specific event that they want to try and improve their performance at, so like for example, a Spanish driver wants to do well at the Valencia Grand Prix for their sponsors, they can come in and we've got a model of that track, so we can drive that track. And we've got the car will ride the bumps in exactly the same way, so the car will snap and behave in the same way. We can make setup changes and make the car behave in that same way. So we can simulate a wet condition. We can simulate if you've got a more forward aero balance, a rearward aero balance, so we can help them in that kind of a way. We can also use it for driver training and driver assessment.
How effective has that proved? Have you done any work to quantify the effect on performance of drivers?
Well, if you look at Nico Hülkenberg, who we've got an interest in, if you think that he's never driven at Monaco before and he qualified third at Monaco, if you think that he'd never driven at Silverstone Grand Prix circuit before, he had driven there in his day one GP on the national circuit, I think it is. So he turned up, he blew his engine up in practice one, so he'd done an install lap, he did his out lap, and he did set his first time was the fastest of the session, and he qualified third for that Grand Prix. Essentially, we have an F1 model, so he's like driving the F1 car, but what we're doing by letting him drive the simulator is we can give everybody, or anyone that drives it, gives a massive head start. They know the corners, and that you can pick up on things like at Silverstone, for example, the sequence of corners, so turn 2, 3, 4, 5, that's a rhythm sequence. So you need to learn that you know that you need to compromise 3 to get a good run through 4, to then compromise 5 to get a good run through 6. You can't necessarily learn, because you can drive around the corner and go as fast as you can through, be doing it the wrong way, and everyone's pulling away from you, and you can look at the data and, you know, I'm nowhere through there. But unless you can do it through the simulator and try all the different configurations and stop, practice on specific bits.
Compensating for lack of testing.
And we definitely use it as a tool for lack of testing. So if someone like M34, so if we were to take a driver a little racing experience and run them, we can obviously give them a lot of experience via the simulator. So we can spend a lot of time doing that.
How did you get to this point?
Education through an engineering, sort of mechanical engineering background, really. So did a placement at Lotus Cars, went to Aston University, did Formula Student, worked at other motorsport companies, did a lot of sports car racing, and then came to Williams on the test team. First of all, working in reliability as a systems engineer. Last year, we spent basically trying to lift our game on reliability, working with the equivalent on the race team, in the test team, to try and iron out any problems, and then moving on to being a data engineer inside the test team. Then with the testing ban, there's no work in that field. But then essentially we do a lot of the same work we do at the track. So with a young driver such as Nico Hülkenberg or a protege driver we want to see, we can use the simulator in the same way to get the measure of them. So there's things that driving the F1 car is quite a lot. It's quite different to driving a GP2 car. Well, it's similar in some ways, but it's also a lot more intense. So we can use the simulator in lots of ways. And another way we use it is with this Philips competition, which is really good. Get the guys in, get a really good feel of who's going to be able to do it, drive the simulator and get the best experience from the day, really.
Compared with people in the competition, what will they go through?
With the simulator test, it's essentially we do a shootout. So we get the three guys in and we give them 2 to 3 runs in the simulator. So first of all, we just show them the lap so they know their way around the circuit, show them some data so they know which gear to select, show them how to select the gear and essentially how to drive the car. And then we give them a short run of laps around the circuit, and then we've got a reference lap to compare them against to a reasonably quick lap. So then we can tell them where they need to try and find quantum speed and how they can make the car go faster, get sort of an appreciation for their understanding of what they're doing and their ability to listen, just how sort of sensible they are. We put them back in and give them another run, hopefully from what they've learned from the overlay, and we can talk to them whilst they're driving, because we can see on the telemetry how they're getting on and if they need to brake later or brake harder or try and stay straighter, or we can also see visually where they're driving on the track. So we process the three guys like that, and from their driving ability, listening ability and development, and we can make our judgment.
How does the bump into the first corner at the Nürburgring, how does that catch you out? Did you know about that?
To be honest, we didn't know about that, no. We don't have a particularly good scan of Nürburgring, unfortunately. Somebody has, they basically sold the rights to all the circuits, they're all done on an individual basis, and someone's got the property to have, or the rights to have a scan of Nürburgring, so we don't have a very good laser scan of Nürburgring.
I was going to ask, how do you do that? How do you get your data from the track?
So, one group was shown by Duncan, but also essentially what we do, there's an outside company that has effectively a van which has got a scanner, and they can drive around the circuit tediously slowly and record essentially a series of points. So if it was this table, then you'd have a series of flat points here, then it would go over my phone and then it would go back down again, and we essentially just have photo images or images of a track or tarmac. So we actually take photo, when we go to the track we can take a photo of the tarmac and lay that over and then just repeat it.
They have to like take the racing line,
and well, they actually drive down the middle of the circuit, and then so that builds us the circuit in space, if you like, and then it's up to the drivers to choose the racing line. So we sort of blacken the tarmac to try and, so into the braking zone, it's often darker there, and we sort of rip up the curves. The idea is that there's as many visual cues as possible. So within the simulator, the things you're missing is you're not getting the G-force, so the driver is obviously stationary. We're trying to give the driver as many cues as they can. So, for example, the competition winner, the feeling they'll get from the steering wheel when they're driving the car. So if the car's sliding, they're applying too much lock, it'll go light, and they get that same feeling in the car. The one thing about driving a simulator compared to a real car is you're missing that cue, the sensation of the wind blowing over you, and if you drove your road car and it didn't move and you just had to turn the steering wheel, you'd suddenly feel very disconnected from it, so you then need to tune into much more the feeling through your hands and the feeling through what's happening with the wheel.
Is this a standard piece of kit for F1 teams? Is yours different or special?
The kit that we've got down there we've developed entirely ourselves.
But has everyone got their own version of that?
Lots of people have got their own interpretation. Some teams have a very elaborate system, I guess depending on budget, and they've got moving platforms, and there are arguments to say that's better or worse. If you look at a flight simulator that throws the pilots around, you can go for something like that, you can start with the simplest thing, is essentially like a PlayStation with one screen and a steering wheel, and you go the other extreme, which is a completely moving platform which gives the driver the sensation of G and everything. The thing that's important is if you give the driver a cue, it has to be the correct cue. So if you can't model that, the lateral load or the longitudinal load correctly, then you're giving the driver an incorrect cue, so then they'll get the wrong feeling, so then you're actually confusing the driver. So there could be an argument to say you actually want less correct cues than lots of incorrect cues. So that's one thing to try and focus on, really. And there are other ways of giving the driver the sensation. Some teams, I believe, have got some kind of actuator on the driver's helmet to try and give the neck load. There's obviously safety implications on that. And you could also, other teams have heard of doing belt tensioning, so on the braking, tensioning the belt, so to give the sensation of being pulled back. And also like an airbag system, which sort of pushes the driver around. So there's lots of the different things that people have tried to try and give you this kind of sensation of getting the simulator as real and as close to the real thing as possible, which essentially is what we're trying to do.